Blog Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Karl Anthony Towns from the University of Kentucky. With the first pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Andrew Wiggins from Toronto and the University of Kansas.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Anthony Bennett in the 2012 NBA Draft. The New Orleans Hornets select Anthony Davis. Kyrie Irving from Duke University. John Wall from the University of Kentucky.
And it's the B-Singer and Marucci Show. Happy to join you on this Friday afternoon. It's 12 o'clock. We'll take it along to 12:30. I'm Brian Singer, and alongside my co-host, Nick Marucci. Nick, how we doing?
Good, Brian. How's it going?
No complaints, no complaints. We just heard the pass. I think that was the 5 draft picks. Out of them, the one that stands out is what came in the middle. Anthony Bennett going to the Cavaliers.
Oh, man. Where is he now?
Well, is he with the Timberwolves?
I don't believe so. I heard he's been impressing, though, some workouts, but got to be the biggest bust, though, that I can remember.
Honestly, yeah, and I think Kyrie Irving is, as of now, the best one to emerge from those picks.
We heard Anthony Davis.
True. I mean, I guess Irving, I mean, there's a lot of talent in that. It's just Irving has the ring.
Yeah, true.
And then we have a last night's affair.
With the first pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Ben Simmons from Melbourne, Australia and Louisiana State University.
No surprise there. Everyone knew it was coming. I'm a big Ben Simmons guy. I know you're not a huge Ben Simmons guy. But let's transition into the winners and losers that we think of last night's draft. Which one do you want to start with, winner or loser?
Let's start with the winners. Let's give credit to the teams that had a great job.
All right, go ahead.
Well,
for me,
you know, I thought a lot of teams did well, but I loved what Denver did. They got a guy in Jamal Murray who could score the basketball. And you could pair him up now with Moutier, who you drafted last year, and run up and down, shoot threes. And then with drafting Juan Hernangómez from Spain, watching this guy work out before the draft, he's your typical 4 in the NBA today. You know, he'll attack the hoop, but he steps out. He can hit the 3. I thought that was an amazing pick, a steal at 15. And then with Malik Beasley, he gives you firepower off the bench, another guard, and I think they're stacking up their backcourt. And I loved what Denver did.
What I like about Denver, you mentioned it, that Murray pick, to go alongside Moutier. Now, Moutier's biggest criticism was how well can he shoot the ball. Jamal Murray might be the best shooter in this draft. I mean, he and Buddy Hield probably.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. Denver is a winner. My winner has to be the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they came in with so much backcourt, so they filled some holes in the frontcourt. They got Bender. They got Chris in a trade that I don't exactly know why the Kings elected to do that trade. I think this guy's a talented forward out of Washington. But now they come in with a lot of depth, and we saw this. Last year I thought their draft was great as well, but they got plenty of cap space. I do still think they make a move. I think Brandon Knight or Bledsoe, probably Knight, end up getting dealt to address those holes in the front court. But I'm putting Suns as a winner right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the guy Bender at number 4 just reminds us that of Kristaps Porzingis last year. He went number 4. No one really heard of him.
Here we go.
And look, this guy Bender, watching him, same kind of player, could shoot. He's big. He attacks. But I like it. I like the pick. But to talk about Brandon Knight real quick, why did he always get traded? Why is there always rumors about him?
I remember watching him in high school. I remember he was on ESPN. He was playing against Austin Rivers, actually. And this guy was so talented coming out of high school. And I think he's just a scoring point guard, which a lot of teams aren't a fan of that idea. And maybe that's why he's just such a piece that has always floated around in trades.
I don't understand. He was great with Milwaukee, and they decided to go another way with Carter Williams, and that hasn't worked out. So it's been confusing with Brandon Knight.
Yeah, no, I mean, if a team could – I mean, Knight off the bench would be absolutely superb, I think, for a contending team to take him on. I mean, I'm a Nets fan, and I would take Brandon Knight. Now there's a report that Rondo wants to come play for Brooklyn. He's trying to take Yogi Ferrell's spot. I'm not too a fan of the Wildcat taking the Hoosier spot there. But
you will not see Yogi in October on that team. I'll tell you that.
No, but in all honesty, if anyone is going to make an NBA team, you have the best opportunity to do it with the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, they're 500-1 odds to win the NBA championship. This team is bad. Give Yogi Ferrell a shot.
You know what, though? To talk about winners, about the I can say I liked what the Brooklyn Nets did. Winners
what
of the draft.
Sorry?
To talk about winners of the draft, and you just talked about the Nets, I mean, I liked what they did. I thought they added two guys who could score the basketball, and that's what they need. It's firepower, man. I love LeVert, big body, and Whitehead, a Brooklyn guy. I thought the Nets had a great draft, too. To not have a first-round pick and get into it, I thought they did a great job last night.
I like that they did go LeVert as well. And LeVert's he's got a big body. I mean, he's a Big Ten guy. He's a power guy out of that small forward position. He does have to stay healthy. But what I don't get is Bellinelli got traded and for the 22nd pick.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Nets trade Thaddeus Young, and all they get is the 20th pick. You're trying to tell me that Bellinelli and Thaddeus Young are just two picks apart?
No, they're not. But
I think that's a bad job out of the Nets.
I think it was more just, we're not going to win with this guy being one of our main guys.
And he has a lot of money,
and he has a lot of money on his contract. Why not just ship him off, get a pick? Because he signed a 4-year, $50 million deal. That's a pretty good amount of money for a guy like that young. I mean, he's a good player, but you're not going to win a championship with him as your main guy.
I think he'll fit well in that Pacers team, which we'll probably get to later in the program. I know you and I have different takes on that. So let's get to the losers in last night's draft. Who you got as your biggest loser?
Well, my biggest loser has got to be the Sacramento Kings. I actually was so confused with everything that was going on with them. I didn't understand what they were going for with the drafting the guy from Greece with the 13th pick, trading back. They did select my guy, Malachi Richardson, but they made some interesting moves that definitely pissed off their star player, DeMarcus Cousins, if you saw his tweet last night.
Yes, sir. Lord, give me strength, I believe it was.
Yeah, and you don't want to make your star unhappy because obviously the rumors with him going on, maybe getting traded, always having problems with the coaches, and this is another thing to add to it. I think they had a bad night.
See, and I know you're going to have an issue with this. I know it. Mine's the Boston Celtics. This is a team that, first of all, needed to trade that third overall pick. I mean, needed to. Unless Chris Dunn is my superstar who would have come out of that three pick, they decided to go in a different direction with Jaylen Brown, who isn't a bad player. He's a great wing player. But the Celtics are in a situation where they are ready to take that next step. And here's what happens if you don't take that next step when called upon, is that you stay where you are. And eventually, the guys don't develop like they should. And when you're ready to take that next step and you're called upon to do it and you don't draft the personnel to do it, then you're just failing yourself. And I think that's what Danny Ainge did. He went with two international guys that, who knows, I don't know if they're coming over right away or, you know, what the deal has been there. But I think for the fact that they didn't trade – that third overall pick. Not saying it was their fault, but they didn't. It put them as my biggest loser.
Well, that's why we disagree, because I think you only were supposed to trade it if you got the right offer. And they clearly didn't like what they were hearing. They clearly, I mean, maybe,
but they couldn't get Jimmy Butler when Jimmy Butler was being offered for the Timberwolves, what, fifth pick, and Zach LaVine, as if Zach LaVine's some superstar.
Well, he has a lot of potential. I mean, now the rumor I heard is that it was Rubio instead of LaVine, and that made no sense for Chicago, so they said no, what I read this morning. But to go with the Celtics here, I love what they did because you couldn't go wrong. You had eight picks in this draft. You couldn't go wrong with what you did. Instead, they went a route where they get a guy, Jaylen Brown, who's going to come in and play, just score the basketball, and then you just draft and stash in Europe. And if you guys don't come over right away, that's not a bad thing. San Antonio's known of doing that.
It is a bad thing because let's say they come over in 2 years, 3 years, and some of these pieces, what the heck is going on in your house right now?
A little construction, a little bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Some ruckus going on. Get that straightened out over there.
All right.
But these guys get stashed away for 2 or 3 years. Let's say in 2 or 3 years, your young pieces that are there with Boston maybe aren't there anymore. The best way to Danny Ainge's tenure came, it has to be like 9 years ago, when Danny Ainge picked Jeff Green and shipped them all the way to Seattle for Ray Allen. Then they got Kevin Garnett. And then they built because they had the foundation. They have the foundation right now. They need that superstar player. Jimmy Butler would fill that role.
Well, absolutely, but they still believe that they're in the running for Kevin Durant. They still believe they could get a guy like that. They don't, and with the team how they are, they might not need a Kevin Durant origin. They could go for a Al Horford center to run the middle for them. It's just
that team wouldn't be a championship contender. That team would be a good team in the East,
but they're still young and they're still developing and they're still, you know, you never know how Jaylen Brown could come up. I mean, this guy could turn into an all-star. I mean, you don't just go third overall for no reason. He's clearly a great player. So
Anthony Bennett went first
level.
Overall for no reason.
Cleveland, I don't want to get into that. That's why sometimes I think the NBA is rigged, that they needed to get the couple first-round picks and make these trades to get Love, and LeBron was coming back. That's a different day.
Well, the landscape of the NBA definitely changed a little bit last night with probably – the biggest trade, I would say, that occurred last night. It occurred between Oklahoma City and the Magic. Oladipo and a couple other pieces sent over to Oklahoma City, and big Serge Ibaka sent over down into northern Florida in Orlando. So I want your take on that trade, the winner and the loser from that deal between Sam Presti's Oklahoma City Thunder and the Orlando Magic.
I actually think there's no real winner here. I hate the deal for both teams. Serge Ibaka is a free agent after next year. And he's not going to come in and be a number one or two guy. And I don't know what they're expecting out of him coming. And you give up Oladipo, who you drafted in the top five. You give up the big guy from last night, from Gonzaga, and Ilyasova. But getting Ibaka doesn't make you a playoff team for Orlando. But I also hate it for OKC because they were one game away from the NBA Finals. They were 3-1 in that series. And Serge was a key part. He's been a key part of this franchise for 7 years. And I don't think it was smart to just dip him away. You get smaller, I guess, but that's the only – like, I guess they're only working their way to just match up with Golden State. If that's the only – you never know what happened to that team next year. And I think now it's more likely Kevin Durant could see other options because Serge Ibaka is one of his best friends. He trusts him. He knows him. It's a guy he knows who always has his back on D. And I just don't like it for either team.
See, I see your point with Orlando and not liking it for Orlando. And they gave up a lot for Serge Ibaka. And he is a good player. But he's also kind of underperformed. He had a second worst rebounding year of his career. And that's been his role in the past, is be that big guy down low. But I do like the deal for Oklahoma City, and I think you're a little off your rocker if you don't like it for OKC. They gave up Ibaka, who does just have 1 year left in his contract, and he could easily leave after this year, and he's apparently been disgruntled about his role in the past. You get Oladipo, who's working on his rookie deal, and this is a double-double threat, a perimeter defender, and a scorer out of that two spot. And that's something that they've kind of slacked is the ability to score out of that shooting guard position. So you give up Ibaka, who, I mean, James Harden and Kevin Durant were tight. They gave up Harden. Kevin Durant survived. But you mentioned the point that they're just one game away from the NBA Finals. Let's say the Cavs lost. The Cavs, who were in the NBA Finals, lost by one game. Let's say they lost Game 7 or lost Game 6. Everyone would be saying trade Love. Everyone would be saying it. You'd probably be saying it. But then the whole argument, well, they were just in the NBA Finals. They're only one game away.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma City Thunder were one game away from making the NBA Finals, but they didn't do it. So, yeah, they're going to have to make changes because they proved that they weren't good enough against the Warriors team. And that's who you have to face. You got to, in order to beat the best, you got to be the best. So I like this move for Oklahoma City. But you saying that you can't make a move because you're only one game away from the finals, the Cavaliers would have made moves if they lost in the finals.
No, I mean, in my opinion, I love Kevin Love. I would if they lost, I still would want them to. I want them to keep him. But to go back, Ibaka fit in so well for that team. And why do you the best team ever in a regular season, Golden State Warriors, was the best doing it their small ball way. Why try to beat them at what they're the best at? Try to beat them at what you're the best at, what you have.
Well, look at look at how the Cavaliers beat them. Did Mozgov play in Game 7?
The Cavaliers beat the Warriors because of LeBron James. Right?
Yeah, but
LeBron,
they played small ball, and they played quicker. And the biggest adjustment from Blatt to Lou came in and he said, we're going to play quicker. That plays right into the Warriors' hands. They did it better. Why can't Oklahoma City do it better? They have two of the top five players in the association, and you get a little quicker, and you have Steven Adams down low.
They
really emerged. I know you're a big Steven Adams guy.
I am. Now there's a lot of pressure on Steven Adams coming into next year, and I don't know if he's ready for that kind of pressure. He showed up in the playoffs, but he also had help with Ibaka down low. Now it's him. Now
this guy is one of, like, 18 children in that household. All of them are 6'5 and taller. This guy is destined for greatness down in Oklahoma City.
No, I believe it. I love Steven Adams, but this is a big year coming up for a guy who's 23. It's just weird what Oklahoma City does. They care more about the luxury tax. They don't want to go into that. Trading Harden a few years ago, trading Ibaka now. I get maybe he was unhappy, but he did have one more year left. If Kevin Durant now signs a one-year deal, they're not going to go win the championship next year. So that makes it more likely for him to leave.
If he signs a one-year deal, they won't win the championship?
I think they got worse from the trade. I think they have – Victor Oladipo is a good player, but what has he really proven in this league? I mean, he lost the starting job to Evan Fournier.
Well, first of all, Adams has 2 years left, including this year, so 1 year after this year. So I think this could be why they traded Ibaka, because they want to clear up room in it. And rather than signing Ibaka to an extension, I think they'll go after Adam. But does Serge Ibaka really offer that much? I mean, he put up 12.5 points per game this season.
It's the rim protection he offers for that. He's not going to be – I don't think in Orlando he's going to be the huge difference maker. I don't get the deal for them either. But in Oklahoma City, he was a shot blocker. He hit outside shots.
And he averaged a half block season than he has over his career. His second worst rebounding year of his career.
But that also plays into part of the emergence of Steven Adams and also Cantor off the bench.
Exactly, and they gave Cantor a boatload of money, so why do you need Ibaka? They've struggled with that two position, honestly, ever since James Harden left. It has been a carousel of guys who have come in and unable to score out of that spot. Oladipo averaged 16 points per game last season.
But my thought of it is that you were saying that getting this trade was to beat the Warriors, and the
yes.
two-guard position was not the problem in playing the Warriors last year. Andre Roberson played amazing.
Then tell
he
me the problem.
Out of his mind.
Tell me why they couldn't close out a 3-1 series.
They stopped. As a team, they stopped playing defense. They stopped hitting shots in the fourth quarter. You could tell from the two star players, you could tell with them that through three quarters, they're amazing. But in the fourth quarter, they get tired because they're doing so much. They're doing so much for this team. I don't think that's what their need was. I think it was getting a guard through free agency maybe, or getting another big man to play in there and score. You need another scorer. Victor Oladipo is not a proven scorer.
Victor Oladipo, I would argue, it could be considered more of a scorer than Serge Ibaka.
Sure, but Serge hits the outside shots of that Westbrook pick and pop, kick out to him, he hits. He extended it to the three-point shot, which was huge from a big man. He spreads the court out. I thought he matched up pretty well with Draymond Green. I mean, he didn't really guard him, but Draymond had a terrible series against Oklahoma City. And I don't think
they need him now. I think him and Adams, it's like putting a puzzle together. Ibaka and Adams were the same piece of the puzzle. You can't put two of the same piece in the one puzzle, but you were missing a piece. I think Oladipo is that missing piece. I think they'll still re-sign Waiters. Then they have some depth at that two position. They could even, when in small ball, you know, play Oladipo, play Waiters at the three, Durant at the four, Adams at the five. I think that's a good lineup. And Ilyasova is an underrated aspect to it, stretch four.
Stop. He's not going to be a contributor. He probably won't even play minutes.
I think he will.
Deion Waiters is a
restricted free agent.
Lineup
is right now. He's a restricted free agent.
Yeah, if a team wants him, they committed.
Well, they
a lot
might
of money
want depth
lot.
At that two position, but a team has
well,
to give
need,
him an absurd offer.
They need, but like I said before, they're very weird about their money. They'd rather lose players than pay a tax or give out these contracts. They already paid Kanter. Like you said, they got to set up if they want to keep Oladipo long term. They're going to set up in a couple years. Adams in a couple years. They have to pay Durant this summer. Westbrook the following summer. I think right now Deion Waiters is a lock to leave. I think this move is to make, he's leaving. Let's try to upgrade the two. I think you lose scoring. You do gain defense. But their starting lineup right now would be Westbrook, Oladipo, Roberson, Durant, Adams, because aren't they trying to play small ball?
Unless they put Ilyasova in. You think I'll mess around? This guy put up 10.5 points per game last season, 5 rebounds. He's not nobody.
On a bad team. I mean, he wasn't playing for a bad team. Why would he be playing for a good team?
He played 25 minutes. What, that's not playing now?
Look, if Ersan Ilyasova is a main guy for the Oklahoma City next year and they win a championship, I'll give you $1,000. How about
deal.
That?
Deal. You just said that for everyone. You're telling me that no championship team has weird main guys. Richard Jefferson was a main guy for the Cavs in this championship.
Came in and he played well. I mean,
and Ilyasova could do the same thing.
Fine. I just don't think this trade benefits them for the running of getting Kevin Durant back, even Russell Westbrook back next year. You're getting rid of their core guys. You're getting rid of their friends. You're getting rid of the guys they are used to play with. And if it doesn't work out next season, both guys are going to be very unhappy. And we might not even be talking about what if Kevin Durant leaves this summer. How does that trade help them?
You could be right, but what are the Thunder going to do? Sit on their hands until Kevin Durant gives them their decision? They can't wait till July.
July's in a week.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Wait? I mean, let me ask you this. Who is the best or the number one and two best defensive point guards in your opinion?
Defensive point guards.
Yeah.
Chris Paul.
Uh-huh.
And
you're not going to say him, but you know who it is. You
it's not
know
Russell
who
Westbrook.
It is. Yes, it is.
No, it's not. You ever
think
watch
of another
defense?
Point guard who could legitimately put pressure on you all game?
Patrick Beverley.
Oh my God.
Watch Russell Westbrook play defense. Watch him play defense and then come on me. Watch him play defense. Watch maybe on ball, he's pretty good, but off the ball defense, he's awful.
Well, he's also busy at getting a triple-double every other night.
And that's really getting them to get the ring. Steph Curry's happy with his ring. He's
good. But this is what Oladipo offers. Oladipo could guard a 1-3. His best thing coming out of college, Indiana University, was his defense and his athleticism, his perimeter defense.
But has he really proven he's that good of a defender in the NBA?
I mean, no one has criticized him. He's been in for, what, 2 years?
Well, no one's going to criticize the guy. But that's what I'm saying. You bring in a guy with – he's very inexperienced. So he can go to the playoffs with not one game under his belt in the playoffs and totally choke.
Well, the Thunder have a lot of games under their belt, but they don't have a ring to show for it.
I mean, they've played in NBA Finals. Serge Ibaka has played in NBA Finals. They've been in an NBA Finals before. They know what it takes to get there. And I don't know.
I think you're crazy.
Doesn't know how to get there.
You don't need to know how to get there when you have Durant and Russ Westbrook, who will be carrying the team.
They clearly need help, but that's their problem, that they need those two to just carry the team. That's been their problem.
Oh, it's your problem that you need two of the top five guys in the NBA to carry your team?
But that's been their problem. That's why they blew that series 3-1.
Because they went back to them playing hero ball. But you still get carried by two guys. That's how the NBA works. That's how the Cavs won. LeBron and Kyrie combined for 82 in a game.
Yeah, but they did the scoring. But Tristan Thompson did the defense and rebounding.
But Westbrook and Durant will do the scoring. Adams will do the rebounding. Oladipo does the defending.
Come on. They're not proven players. They're not proven players. Steven Adams proved himself a little bit in one series.
First of all, but what did he prove himself in? Rebounding. And defensive
yes,
rim presence. That's effort stuff for the most part.
But a team like that, against the Warriors, they're going to get out-rebounded sometimes because they're small. They like to play green at the five. They don't care to get out-rebounded. They were out-rebounded, I think, in every game against OKC. We still win the series.
But that's why they can play small ball now. Put Durant at the four. You have Oladipo, Waiters, 2-3.
You don't have Waiters on that. Like he's a free agent. Restrict it. If he gets $13 million a year because of his new salary cap, why would they
ever
have
about
that?
Roberson?
Is he signed? You think Andre Roberson's going to get $13 million? He'll probably get $8 million. I'd rather have him. He starts
But fine. You have him and Oladipo.
And where are you going to get your scoring from besides Westbrook and Durant? That's what their problem is. They don't have...
Oladipo put up more points per game than Ibaka. So what is your argument?
My argument is Ibaka was the number three or four on a team. Oladipo was on a bad team. Think about Aaron Aflalo.
So they had no one to guard.
Aaron Aflalo led the Orlando Magic in scoring with like 18 a game when he was on that team. He goes to the Portland Trailblazers or the Nuggets after that. They don't just 10. It matters who you're playing with. You think Victor Oladipo really averaging a consistent 16, 17 a game? That's what James Harden was doing with that team. And James Harden is James Harden. He just averaged 30 a game last year.
But Oladipo doesn't need to average 16. They could win with him getting 12.
No, they can't. Who would be their third guy? Who was their
third
guy? That's
what Ibaka averaged last year. And as you said, they were
one. Yeah, but he was
away.
Averaging 12. Cantor off the bench was averaging double digits. Waiters was averaging double digits.
So why can't that happen?
Because they might not have Waiters.
But they'll have – so you're telling me Deion Waiters is the reason this team will or will not win a ring?
No, but he was a key part. He played very well. And he gave them a big scoring burst off the bench. He doesn't create his own shot. He hits tough shots. He goes to the hoop. He's a good player. And I think you lose scoring if you lose a guy – I mean – I'm not saying he was that, but he's important. He was important for them. And I think they lost some scoring. They lost some ability to spread the floor. I mean, teams are going to let Oladipo shoot.
And you know what? He'll prove that he could hit it. We got about 90 seconds left. Let's give one team that you're looking at right now that could surprise people next season. Obviously, free agency, you know, could change things. I'll go first. Indiana Pacers. I think Larry Bird has made some great moves. I think the Jeff Teague trade was great. I think Thaddeus Young trade was great. I think they could be the number two team in the East.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, you come up with something better because Larry Bird is making moves. We've seen other NBA legends sitting in the seats in the front office not make any moves. Michael Jordan. So you give
my surprise team is going to be the New Orleans Pelicans. They were a playoff team the year before, and last year every single guy in their starting lineup got hurt. They still have a top two big man in the NBA. They draft a guy like Buddy Hield who could score the basketball. You bring back your scorers. They still have a pretty good head coach at Alvin Gentry. Injuries was their problem, and I believe they won't have to deal with that this year. Guys will stay healthy, and I think they can contend for the playoff spot.
I do like the Pelicans. If they're in the East, they certainly have a much better shot than in the very tough
West.
Well,
the bottom half of the West isn't that strong. Teams are not. They have an opportunity.
I would agree. So that'll do it for our second show. Thank you for listening to Singer Merchie. Nick, any last words? Go ahead.
Let's go next. That's it.